Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
What joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, fathers, we open your word tonight. We're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us guidance, Father, and to let us hear your voice as we look at your word. We're told to walk in faith, Father. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Almighty God. Now be with us throughout the remainder of this evening, Father, giving us knowledge, the knowledge of your word, the wisdom to use it to help others. But most of all, Father, as your word tells us, let each one of us search and seek for that spiritual gift that is the greatest of all. And we know that gift, Father, is charity. Thy love. Because without your love, Father, nothing is accomplished. Now be with us throughout the manger this evening, Father, and we ask this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, now, before I get in this evening to the word, let you know there will not be any service Thursday night because we're going to be getting together here Thursday at 11 a.m. because the church is going to be taken all out for Thanksgiving dinner. All right. Now that said and done, let's get into our scripture for this evening. We're going to be in Ephesians 2. This morning I wasn't sure just where we would be, but the Lord took me to Ephesians 2. And beginning here with verse 1, and you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that you, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. And now we ask the Holy Spirit to bring to each one of us that in which we need and in which he will give us. And we ask this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. As we back up here now, this very first verse, as we take a look at it, it says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That word quickened means made alive. You see, when we come to that knowledge of knowing that we need the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, and when we go to him, then it is through the Lord Jesus Christ that the Father makes you and I alive. We have now come alive, and we are on the road to becoming his sons and his daughters, and to be able to work and to walk with him through this life here on the earth and reaching out to help others. Because now we are no longer out in the world. We are really no longer of this world, because this world holds nothing for us and our lives are to be in tune with the Lord our God. And the only way that can be is if we will walk in obedience unto the Lord our God and His Word. And in order to do that, we need to come together in the study of God's Word, taking it in to our hearts and our minds so that we can bring it forth through our lives and bring it to life, making it a living word. That's what God is wanting from each and every one that will go to Him. Think about that. There's a whole lot there in just those few words in that first sentence there. When you really see what He is saying there, and you know His Word, because you know what He has done in you. And when you can look at what God has done within you, we know that everything He does is good. He doesn't do anything to you and I or through you and I that is not good. And those that see us, that are around us, when they look at you and I, that's what they should be seeing. They should be seeing the Lord Jesus Christ through you and I, and also the Father, because you see the Father, through the Holy Spirit living within you and I, is letting others see that today He is still the all-knowing, the all-truth, and the all-great I Am. He is the Lord our God. And through His Word, He gives you and I the way to walk in this life, to be His sons and His daughters. But we have to know His Word in order to be able to do that. And we need that plan of salvation completed in our lives. And we need to carry His love, that godly love, for all of mankind, but most especially for each other. And in that way, the things He will ask you and I to do, and the work that we will do, will flourish. Because you see, it doesn't matter how much work we do, or will do, if it's done without love, it's been of no use. Oh, now that's not true. Yes, it is. If it's done without love, it's of no use, because it's not going to cause anyone to want what you and I have spiritually. It may cause them to what we have monetarily or physical, but not spiritually. Now, verse 2, he says, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And he's talking about you and I from the time we come into this world until we reach the Lord Jesus Christ. We are walking as children of disobedience because we have never accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, and He is the only way that you and I can make heaven our home and spend eternity with Him. Think about it. Now, he goes on here in 3 and he says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That in the beginning of that, where he's talking about we had our conversation, what he is really telling us is the way we all had conducted ourselves, think about that, in this life, and how we had walked contrary to the word or the laws of Almighty God. Now, we're not talking about the law, the Mosaic law, but we are talking about His word that has been given to you and I. And we lived our lives before we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. We lived our lives fulfilling our own pride, our own lust, the things we want and wanted of this world out here. And they are those, you know, of it that we're not satisfied with the things that we get from this world if it is not the very best of whatever it is that we wanted. As an example, you go looking for a car. You want the very best, the most expensive, the one that looks the best, the one that will lift you up before mankind, when really one that would be 20 years old would serve the very purpose that you need it for. We got, now, we've got wristwatches out there today that cost thousands and thousands of dollars. And men see them, and that's what they want, because it lifts them up in society. They're not looking at what is my need. The watch I have on right now was a real expensive watch. It's $14. That was new. And I've had it now for about 5 years. I didn't need no $7,000 or $8,000 watch, did I? This one has served its purpose, keeps perfect time. But you see, that's until man comes to that knowledge, saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his life changes, that's not the way he wants things. Now, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. You see, we don't go to God because we love him first. He loved you and I before we were ever born into this life. Before our mothers and dads were even thought of. And he had a plan for us. But when we are born and when we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus, it is up to you and I to walk with the Lord our God close enough that we can find what it is he has for each of our lives. And once we do that, we will always be close with him and doing the right thing. And it's all because he loved you and I first. And you see, that love does touch our hearts and our minds. And that's what starts that with his spirit working with us. It's what brings us to that knowledge and letting you and I know that there is something more that we need than ourselves and that will lead us to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him for that forgiveness of our sins and the things that we've done so that we can become that child of the living God. And once we do that, then we get into God's Word and we start seeking for that infilling baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what it takes in order to be born again. And just as Jesus told Nicodemus in the third chapter of the Gospel of John, that no one would enter into heaven without being born again. Yes, we were born in the flesh, but we are to be born again. We are to be born of the water and of the Spirit. We are to be born unto God and live for him. And let him live through us. This is what is needed in our churches today that are so missing. Now, 5, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. You see, you and I, we are saved by grace, which is the gift of Almighty God. It's nothing we can do within ourselves to be saved. Salvation comes to you and I by grace from the Father and comes to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, brought to us by the Spirit of Almighty God. And why would he do that for those like us? It's because he loved you and I before we loved him. And he wants to see us saved. He wants to see you and I make heaven our home. That's why we are here today, is to become that child of the living God, to go back to be with him through eternity, and to give him praise, give him honor, give him thanks throughout eternity, through all ages, being with him, loving him, worshiping him. And it has to start here while we are on this earth. Because if we wait, then it will be too late. But some don't believe that. And six, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see, that's the thing. When Jesus died on that cross, his death and his resurrection broke down that wall that was between man and God. We no longer needed to go to a man and confess our sins to a man so that that man could take our sins and go to God to get forgiveness for us. Because now we have a Savior that has done all of that, and he made it to where you and I can go to the Father in prayer. We don't need a priest anymore, because we've got a high priest in heaven that has paid the price for you and I. These are things we need to understand and to know. And we are living in the end days. And we may be even in to what would be considered the end hours of this age, the age of the church. And one day we know, because the word has told us, that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is coming back for his church. He's going to be calling those that are ready out of this world. And they're going to meet him in the air. And they're going to go and be with him for a while. And then he's coming back to establish his kingdom upon this earth for 1,000 years. And he's going to be bringing them back with him. They'll be here with him throughout his millennial reign, that 1,000 years. And then they'll be with him throughout eternity. But yet mankind today is walking further and further and further away from Almighty God. And some are even believing that they are all right because that's what they have been taught. It's all right for you, go ahead and you do those same old sins that you've been doing because you have been forgiven for them, so they don't count no more. You're all right. You got heaven made. No, you ain't. You better get into God's word, and you better get you a place to go and be with God's people to where you can learn the truth of the word of Almighty God. Now, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You see, there's that word grace again. And it's by grace that we are saved, and that's through faith. We accept our salvation when we go and ask the Lord Jesus Christ if we have done it rightly. If we have done it sincerely, we accept his forgiveness by faith. So I ask you, you that are listening, that say that you are saved, when you went to the Lord Jesus Christ and asked him forgiveness, did you raise up and thank him for it? And did you begin to believe that it was done? Most don't. Most have that doubt. Maybe I'm saved. Maybe I'm still with him. They know maybe into it. If you're living and walking by faith, it's there. It's done. Know it. And put your trust, your faith, and your love in God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that he is going to take care of you. If you will do what he asks of you to do. In verse 9 he says, not of works lest any man should boast. We can do a lot of good things out here, a lot of good deeds. But as I said earlier, if those deeds are done without the love of God in them, they've been of no use. And another thing about this work, we cannot do those works in order to get into heaven or to have salvation. We do those works really because we have salvation. And we got that through Jesus. And it's because of that that we will do those good works. So we have nothing to boast about except our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's why things have been set by God like they have been set. Now, 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're his workmanship. Whose workmanship? God, the Father's. We are his workmanship. How? Through Jesus Christ. And then we are to begin to be used to do good works and the works that God will call upon us to do. His word here tells us, which God has before ordained, that we should walk in them. We are to walk according to the way that God leads us to go. We are to be what he wants us to be. We are to move when he wants us to move. And to do the things he will ask of us to do. But in order for you and I to be able to live our lives that way, we have to spend time in his word, learning what his word has to say and what his word will tell you and I that God is going to be calling upon us to do. But also, we have to know in our hearts what that work is. And we know that we cannot do it on our own. It takes Almighty God in us. It takes that Holy Spirit in us to give us the knowledge that we need to do and to give us the power and the strength to accomplish it, because we cannot do it on our own. Now, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands. In other words, he's telling his church here, because you see, Paul is writing to a Gentile church, and that ye means Gentile in this verse. And we are those that are called uncircumcision, because you see, we had no knowledge of God. The Gentile race had no knowledge of God until the Lord Jesus Christ came, died, was resurrected, and went back to heaven and started the church age on the day of Pentecost and sent the Holy Spirit back to dwell with all of mankind, not just the Jewish people. You see, you and I are called by the Jewish people uncircumcised because they all had to be circumcised under the law. But now, the only circumcision you and I need is the circumcision of the heart. We no longer, as males, have to be circumcised in the foreskin made by hand. But we need that circumcision of the old man evil cut out of our hearts so that we walk with the Lord our God in all things. Pardon me. All right, now. 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And you see, the Gentile race was. They was without Christ. They knew nothing about him. And they were strangers to Israel, because until the church age, the Jewish men were not allowed to have anything to do with the Gentile people. Nothing at all. We knew nothing about the Lord God or any of the covenants or any of his promises. And as I've said before in services, we were a people without hope or without any joy. Now, and we was without God in the world. And if Christ had not have came, we would have had no chance of making heaven our home. Think about it. Think about what he has really done for you and I. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We were once way off But now, we are. Now. And we are now by his blood. 14, for he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. You see, we today stand just as the Jewish people. We stand as one with them if we stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no difference between us. That wall has been torn down. 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. You know, this flesh has always been an enemy against God. And until we bring the Lord Jesus Christ into our lives, until we have that salvation, there is no way that you and I could have ever made heaven our home. But now, he has also made us one with his chosen people. We are one with him. Because when we put him on through baptism, we begin to walk in him and he walks in us. We have become one with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the word tells you and I that we are heirs and joint heirs with him, with Christ. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy thereby. You see, it was on that cross that Jesus took all of our sins, all of our sicknesses, all of our diseases, and he took them upon himself. And he died so that we would not have to have them anymore. And then that work was finished when God resurrected him and brought him back to life. And he went back to heaven to sit on the right hand of Almighty God the Father. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. And this is what we are supposed to be doing today. We are supposed to be sharing the word of Almighty God with all that we come in contact with. We can't make them accept it, but we are to share it. We are to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to tell them about our experience with him. Share your own experience with him, what he has done for you and in your life. And that will work to help touch them. And as the Holy Spirit works with them, it will lead a lot of them out of darkness and bring them to light, and that light being Jesus. 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. You see, that Holy Spirit that's within you and I, that was sent back when Jesus went back to heaven. He sent back the Holy Spirit to you and I. And it's by that Spirit that we have access to the Father. That's why his word tells us pray to the Father and pray in Jesus' name. And you know that if we do that, he will hear from heaven. And if we know he hears from heaven, he will grant our wishes. He is faithful. He is good. He is all good. There is no evil in him. There is no bad thing in him. He is all good. And that's what he's asking of you and I, is to be his child. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners. You see, we're not strangers anymore or foreigners, even to the land of Israel. But we are fellow citizens with the saints. But now we are also of the household of Almighty God. And 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And this is why that I tell you, when someone will ask you, what is your belief? Our belief is in the Word of God. And if you want to pin it down to for a title, we believe in the Apostles' Doctrine. We believe in the, because you see, our foundation comes from the Apostles and the Prophets and Jesus Christ himself. Now, Jesus Christ himself is the cornerstone of the church that will hold the church together. And that is the church that you and I are supposed to belong to. It doesn't matter what name we'll put on the sign out front of these buildings. It's what's inside the building and whether it is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ or not. Is it his? And is it his word really being taught? Or is it what man wants to make of it? 21. I'm going to cover 21 and 22. We'll be closing. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Once these things has been all brought together in our lives, we become a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation. You are supposed to be a place where God lives. And he does so through the Holy Spirit. And we've been told that so many times in so many different ways. In whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. You see, that's why the Holy Spirit was sent back to us. That is the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. That is God living in you and I. Think about the message tonight and look at your life and make sure everything is right. If it's not, then get a hold of some of us and we'll pray with you just as we pray for you. And we'll help in any way we can. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for a place and a time that we can come together to share your word and to be with each other, to be supportive, and to show our love one for the other, and to help in whatever way we can. And Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world. We ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And for Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we do pray for peace for them. But even more so, Father, we are praying for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. Now, Father, for this land of ours, this land that has turned its back upon the Lord Jesus Christ, had no excuse whatsoever, but it has. And Father, they took the Lord Jesus Christ out of every place he was in. They are trying to do away this day with your church and your people. Help us, Father, to remove from office of our government those that are against Jesus, those that are against the church, those that are against your people, and help us to replace them with people that know you, with people that will stand up for God, people that will stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the church, and will work with us to help put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for our prayer list again this evening, as I speak these names, Father, I ask the Holy Spirit to touch each one of them, to bring about an infilling and fulfilling of whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, for Terry Coates, for Dennis Breeden and his wife Tina, for all the brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Father, for Pastor Smalls, for Pastor Randy Johnson, for Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, this young Pastor Will, Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie. Father, whatever need they have, may the Holy Spirit work with them to see those needs fulfilled. And these churches, Father, not only lighthouses, but make them a place of refuge, a place that is filled with the Holy Spirit, to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus Christ, so that we can live our lives here on this earth, Father, as we should, and according to your word, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, our friends in Pakistan, Father, and the ministers that hear us in different places, may the Holy Spirit work with them. Keep them filled. Keep them safe. Keep them in health. And see to their needs. For the Johnson family, for the Lee family, for the Branson family, for my wife's family and my family, and for each family that will hear this message this evening, Father, may the Holy Spirit work within these families, Father, and lead them out of darkness, those that are walking in evil, walking in darkness, not living for you. May the Holy Spirit work with them and bring them from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus, so that none be lost, and all will be able to make heaven their home. For Jimmy Emery, Sharon Montbello and her mother, for Sue and David, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Palitz, Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch. Touch them with that mighty healing power, Father, and touch them in a way that they'll know it was you and not mankind. Now, Father, be with us throughout the night, through this week, until we come back together again. And, Father, keep them safe and bring those back together with me, Father. Thursday morning at 11 a.m. so that we can go together as the church and have Thanksgiving with each other and with the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts, in our minds. Now, Father, watch over us, keep us all, and be with us until we can be together again. And we ask all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. And God bless. Walk with him and he'll walk with you. God willing, we can all be together again in service come Sunday morning. So until then, have a great week. Have a blessed week with the Lord Jesus Christ. Good night, all.